Beginning with the Mishnah, top of Mem Tesam and Aleph, the Mishnah says, Abba also shecholiyos b'Shabbos, when the 14th of Nisan, Erev Pesach, falls out to be on Shabbos, mivaren esakol melefnei Shabbos, divrei Meir. Meir says that since today is Shabbos, you can't burn, so all the chametz should be gotten rid of before Shabbos, whether it's chulin, whether it's truma, either way it should be gotten rid of before Shabbos. Obviously, a little bit, you're going to leave over what you need for Shabbos, but anything more than that, which you know you for sure are going to need for Shabbos, you get rid of from before Shabbos. V'chachamim, the chachamim say, no, bismanoi. Destroy it on Shabbos, Erev Pesach, in its right time, because until then, you never know. Maybe more people will come that you didn't expect to be able to eat it, and there's no reason to get rid of it from before. Rabbi Elazar bar Tzadokaimer depends. Truma, lifnei Shabbos. Truma, which has a very limited amount of people who could eat it, only Kehanim could eat it, and you know there's no Kehanim around that are able to eat it, or you would have taken care of it, given it to them already. So then, an Echanami should get rid of it before Shabbos. There's no reason to expect that it will be taken care of on Shabbos. Masha Enkein, the Chulin Bizmanon. Chulin, which anybody could eat, so maybe you'll find someone to eat it, and therefore you don't get rid of it till the right time. The Gemara continues, explains more in a brayis. The Tanya Reb Elazar ben Tzadok Omer. Reb Elazar ben Tzadok said, "Pamachas Shavas Avne b'Yavne." One time, a father spent a Shabbos in Yavne. V'chol Abba Osar liyos b'Shabbos, and the 14th of Nisan came out that year on Shabbos. Ubozunin Memuna Shal Rav Gamliel and Zunin, who was the appointee, the shamash of Rav Gamliel, came. The Omar, and he announced, he said, "Higiyei Slavaras HaChametz, it's time to burn the Chametz." V'alachti Achar Abba, and I followed my father. When after my father, B'Yarnu Es HaChametz, I forgot to do the Chametz. So we see from this story that when Erev Pesach falls on Shabbos, they destroy it on Shabbos itself, Erev Pesach, and not from before Shabbos. Then the next Mishnah says, "Ha'holich lishchay des pischoi." If someone is going to shech the korban Pesach v'lamo es benoi, or to give a bris milah to his son, v'lechol sudas eres in beveis chamliv, or he goes to eat a sudas eres in the suda of a kedushin, to celebrate a kedushin by his father-in-law's house, which, like we'll see in the Gemara, is considered a sudas mitzvah, v'nizkor sheyesh lechametz b'sech beisoi, and he remembers that he has chametz in his house that he forgot to get rid of. Im yachol lasso levar, if he has enough time to go back home, get rid of the chametz, lasso mitzvah, and return to his mitzvah, without being mevatel from his mitzvah, yachzer zviyivar, so he should go back and destroy the chametz. V'im lav, but if he doesn't have enough time, mevatel b'livoy, so then instead of going home to destroy the chametz, he continues on to his mitzvah, and he's mevatel the chametz in his heart. Lahatzum ben anochrim, if he's going to save people from the goyim who are coming to attack, uminanar, from a river that's overflowing, minalistim, from bandits, minadleka, from a fire, minapilis, from buildings that are, or walls that are collapsing. So yivata believe it. So over there, don't even take the time to go back. Automatically just be mavatal in your heart and continue on to do the hatzalah, to do the saving that he needs to do. V'lishba shvises arashos, however he's going, just to make an Erev, Rashi says, an Erev Tchumen, to be able to go somewhere just for his own Rishus purposes, something that he wants on his own, not for a Dvar Mitzvah. So then, in such a case, he has no heter to just be Mevat on his heart, rather Yasser Miyad has to return right away and get rid of the Chometz. V'chein, similarly, Mishi Yotam Yerushalayim, someone who left Yerushalayim, and he remembered that he was carrying meat of Kashim Kalim, and meat of Kashim Kalim has to stay in Yerushalayim. Once it goes out of Yerushalayim, it becomes possible, it has to be destroyed, has to be burnt. So, im avar tzayfim, if he already passes tzayfim, which is a place where from there you could still see Yerushalayim, you could still see the Makam HaMikdash. So once he passes that place, he doesn't have to go back and burn it in Yerushalayim, by the Beis HaMikdash, by Har HaBayis, where normal Kachim Kalim that became possible were burnt. Rather, he could burn it where he is. V'im lav, however, if he didn't yet pass, he has to go back and burn it in front of the Bira, which is in Harabayis, Me'atzim Arocha, and from the firewood of the Mizbeach, that was used, that belongs to Hekdesh, and we'll see in the Gemara why they were Misakim Me'atzim Arocha. In either case, whether he's going back to destroy the Chametz or he's going back to burn the Kachem in Yerushalayim, how much Chametz or meat of Kachem does he have in order to warrant that he has to go back? Both by Chametz and by Basur Kachem, the shear is a kabeya, the volume of an egg. Both of them are the size of a kezias, an olive. One is the meat of kachim b'kezayis, then the shear is a kezayis. The chametz, however, by chametz b'kebeya, the shear is a kebeya. So the Gemara asks on the ratio of the reminu. Let's ask a stira. Ha'hoylech lechol sudas erisin b'veis chametz. Someone's going to eat the suda of erisin by his father-in-law's house. V'lish b'shishas harishos, or he's going to make an eruv to go somewhere where it's only Rishus, it's not a mitzvah to go there. He has to turn back immediately to get rid of the chametz. So over here in the Braisa, we see that a Sudas Erisin is a Rishus, and therefore he has to go back. As opposed to the Mishnah, which said that a Sudas Erisin is considered like a Sudas Mitzvah, and therefore he doesn't have to go back if it means that he's going to lose the ability to go to the Suda by going back. He doesn't have enough time to go back. So Amar Rabbi Yechanan Kasha says Rabbi Yechanan, it's not a kasha. Ha Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosi, it's a machlokes. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosi. The Tanya, we learned that the price of Sudas Erisin Rishus to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that the Sudas Erisin is considered a Sudas Rishus. It's not a Sudas Mitzvah, and therefore, according to that opinion, he would have to go back. Rabbi Yosi says that no, it's considered a Sudas Mitzvah. Says the Gemara of Ahashadam Rav Chista. Now that Rav Chista explained that Machloikas was Suda Shni'ah, that the Machloikas that we have Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosi is by the second Suda, because like we'll see soon in the Gemara, they used to have two Sudas in order to have in order to celebrate the Erisin, the Kedushin. One Bishas, the Kedushin itself, and then one a drop later, they used to go home and then he would send a bunch of presents to the Kala and by the father-in-law's house, and they would go back again to make another Suda at the time of the presents, or the giving of the presents, and that was called the Suda of Sivloinus, like we'll see soon in the Gemara. So, what Rav Chista explained, that which we say, a machloikis, if it's considered a Suda Mitzvah or a Suda Rishus, that's the Suda Shniyah, by that second Suda, the one that he gives the presents by. Our Suda Bishayin, the actual Suda Bishas the Erisin, Bishas that he gave the Kedushin, Divyakol Mitzvah, everybody agrees that one is a Suda Mitzvah. So, Afiu Tema Havaha Reb Yudah, so you could say that both the Mishnah and the Braisa are the Shita of Reb Yudah. The Lekashim is not a Kasha, Haba Suda Bishayin, Haba Suda Shniyah. The Mishnah that says it's a Suda's Mitzvah is referring to the first Suda. The Braisa that says it's not a Suda's Mitzvah, it's only a Suda's Rishus, that was referring to the second Suda. Tanya, we learn in the Braisa, I'll review the Anish Shamati, I only heard that it's considered a Suda's Mitzvah, and a Suda's Erisin, only the Suda that celebrates the Erisin itself. But the second Suda, which is the one that he gave the presents by, that one is not considered anymore a Suda's Mitzvah. On that, Rabbi Yosi disagreed, and Rabbi Yosi said, "Anisha Mati, I heard Sudas Erisin Mitzvahinus, that both the Sudas Erisin and the Sudas Mitzvahinus are both considered Sudas Mitzvah." Tad Rabbi Shimon Noimer, Kol Sudas Shein Nishal Mitzvah, any Sudas that's not considered a Sudas Mitzvah, Ein Tamachokam Rashi Lanas Bimeru. Such a party of Tamachokam could not join and partake in such a Suda. Kigoyimai, what would be an example of a Suda that's not considered the Sudas Mitzvah? Or Rabbi Yechanan Kigoyim Bas Kayin Yisrael. A marriage of a Bas Kayin who's marrying a Yisrael, which is, like we'll see soon, improper, that a Bas Kayin is not supposed to step down and marry someone who's a regular Yisrael. Therefore, such a Suda is not a Suda's Mitzvah. Ubas Tamachachachim Amoritz, and the same thing, if a Bas Tamachachachim marries an Amoritz, that's stepping down for her, and therefore it's not a Suda's Mitzvah. The Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Bas Kayin Yisrael, Ein Zivu Ben Adil Yofer. If a Bas Kayin marries a Yisrael, that marriage is not going to end up good. Mahi. What does it mean? In what way is it not going to end up good? Amrav Chista, Oya Mano, either she'll be widowed, a Gerusha, or divorced, Aizara Eina, or she won't have any children. And this Rashi explains comes from the pasuk. It says in the Torah, in Parshas Emor, Ubas Kohen Kisiyah Liishzar, and then afterwards the next pasuk follows and says, Ubas Kohen Kisiyah Amona Ugrusha V'Zera Einla. So we darshan from the first pasuk, if she marries a stranger, if she marries a zar, a non-kohen, the end is going to be that she's going to be either an Amona or a Grusha or a Zera Einla, or she won't have any children. B'masnisa Tana, a Bryce says that what will happen to her if she marries a Yisrael, Kaivra, either he buries her, meaning she will die young, Ay Kaivra Soy, or she'll bury him, meaning he will die young, Ay Midiyasanit Yanias, or they will cause that he should become very poor. Amy, is that so, that a Vas Kayin is not supposed to marry Yisrael, and it's not going to end well? V'ha'am Rabbi Yechanan, didn't Rabbi Yechanan say, Harasa, she's Asher, if someone wants to become rich, what he should do is, Yadu Bizarah Shal Aaron, he should attach himself and marry into the children of Aaron, to the Kehanim, because Kolshkein Shatero Kuna Mas Rosham, because then the combination of the Torah plus the Kuna will be a schos to make them rich. So we see that a Yisrael who marries a Bas Kain, if anything, it will be a Mila, he'll become rich from it. So Mar says, like Kasha, Abba Tamachokam, Abba Amor, it depends. If it's a Talmud Chacham marrying into Sheila Kuna, so that is a marriage that is a Mila, and therefore it will go well. Masha Enkein, if an Amoritz marries into Kuna, so that is degrading for the Kuna, and such a marriage, that's what we said before, is not good. So the Gemara brings a bunch of stories. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yeshua Nosef Kahanta, Rabbi Yeshua married a Bas Kain, Cholash, and then he got sick. Omar, so he said, it must be that Aaron doesn't want that I should marry in and attach myself to his children, to his descendants. He didn't want to have a son-in-law like me. However, Rabbi Idi Bar Avin married a Bas Kain. He had two children who both rose to the level of earning smicha, which were Rav Sheshet Breda Ravidi, Rav Yudah Breda Ravidi. Omer Papa, and Rav Papa said, Eloi Nisimna Kahanta, had it not been that I married a Bas Kayin, Leitati, I wouldn't become rich. Like the Gemara said before, the Schus of Torah plus the Schus of Kuna, when you put them together, then they'll become rich. Omer Rav Kahana said, Eloi Nisimna Kahanta, had I not married a Bas Kayin, like the lawyer, I wouldn't have had to go to exile. So he was saying that I wasn't fit to marry into Kuna. And obviously over here, the Rishonim speak out, must be that even though his name was Rav Kahana, it's not because he was a Kayin, because then he wouldn't have a problem marrying into Kuna. He was obviously Yisrael. His name would just happen to be Rav Kahana. So he held that the reason why he was punished to go into Galus is because he married into Sheva Kuna when he wasn't, according to his anivus, he wasn't right to do such a thing. So Amulei, so they said to him, "V'alamakim terukalisa." What do you mean you went into exile? He went from Babel Teret Israel, and he went to go learn, and he ended up learning a lot of Torah there. So he answered back, "Loigaloike legali inshi." But I didn't go to exile like other people do willingly to go to learn Torah. That's taka maila. Instead, what the case was, the Gemara says in the end of Bava Kamma, he was accused of murder, and the government wanted to execute him, so he had to flee for his life. So such a way is not a way of going up the covet. And it's only because it was a punishment for that, says Rav Kahana, for that which he married into Sheva Kuna. Or Rabbi Yitzchak, call on the enemy Sudas Rishos, any person who partakes from a Sudas Rishos, who has enough from a Sudas Rishos, a suda that's not a suda's mitzvah, the slave Goyalok ends up going to Golos for that. Shenema, like it says in the pasuk, Va'oichlu Karim Mitzoin. This is the Navi giving Musa to Klal Yisrael right before the Tkufa, right leading up to the Chorban of the Beis HaMikdash of the Bais Rishon. It says how they used to party and they used to eat these fattened sheep, the Egolim Mitech Marbik, and the calves that were fattened up. Uksiv, and then it says, following that, Lochain, therefore, because they're busy with their parties and not with Avedus Hashem, Ata Yiglu B'Rosh Gadol, therefore they'll go to Golos in the head of all the ones that go into exile. Tanu Rabbanan, Kol Talmid Chacham Amar B'Sudasei, a Talmid Chacham who spends his time partying a lot, B'Chol Mokim, wherever he goes, Slave Makav is basically going to cause his house to be destroyed, because he's going to constantly need to keep up his, what he's used to, what he's accustomed to, And that's going to end up causing that he's going to end up running out of money and destroying his house. Uma'alman is ishtoi, and he's going to make his wife into a widow, miyasa mezgoizlov, and his children into yisaimim. And the reason for that is he's going to have to pay up his debts, and he's going to have to look for new money to be able to continue eating the way he does, and he's going to be away from home at long periods of time at a shot. So his wife will be like a widow, and his children will be like yisaimim, will be like orphans. And his learning is going to be forgotten because he's going to spend time again making money. He's not going to end up studying and reviewing the way he should. He's going to end up forgetting his learning. And he's going to cause many fights. So Rashi has over here to shot him, either because he's going to get into a fight with all his creditors because he's not paying up, or in learning, since he's going to forget his learning, he's going to end up saying things which are incorrect, and it's going to come out many machlokes in learning based on that. Udvarav einim shmaim, no one's going to listen to him. Umachal Hashem Shemaim, and he's going to be a chilul Hashem, he's desecrating the Shem Shemaim. V'shem Rabbi, and he's embarrassing the name of his Rebbe, v'shem Aviv, and his parents. V'gerim Shem Rabbi, loyul avonav, ulevnei vonav, and he causes a bad name for himself, his children and his grandchildren, until the end of generations. Mahi, what's his bad name that he's causing? Rabbi, currently bar mecham tanuri, the one who's always cooking up food in and always warming up an oven. Ravama, they're going to call them, his children, bar market bekuvi, the people who dance by the pubs. Rashi explains, the poor people who couldn't afford drinks, so what they would do is they would dance and make fools out of themselves and entertain the other people by the pubs, and this way they would get the people to sponsor them drinks. So that's what he's going to lower himself down to be doing. Repapa Omar Balmach Pinchi, they will call him the sons of the person who constantly salted different dishes. Rishmai Omar Balmach Beirava, the person who folded up his begodim, his things, and just slept wherever he sleeps. Right, because that's the way of drunk people. That they don't go. They get too drunk. They don't go home. They just fall asleep or go to sleep right where they are in the pubs that they drink. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan. La'olam mimkor adam kol ma'ashi yesh, a person should sell everything that he has v'yitzah bas tam hachacham, in order to marry a bas tam hachacham. She imeis a goyla, because if Rachman al-Tzlan is going to pass away, or he'll have to go to Golus, and he won't be able to raise his children, nonetheless, mutzavoy shebanu tamid hachacham, he'll be guaranteed that his wife will raise him into being tamid hachacham, because since she's the daughter of a tam hachacham, she knows the correct way to raise them. V'al yitzah bas tam hachacham, But he should not marry the daughter of an Amoritz, because if he's going to be Nifter, or he's going to go into Galus, born of Amoritz, and then his children will grow up to be Amoritz. Tana Abonon Noilam Bim Karadom, call Mashi Yisrael, a person to sell everything that he has, Yisabas Tamachachachachachachachach, he should marry the daughter of a Tamachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachach husband who's a Talmud Chacham. And if he does so, mashal that could be compared to in the agaven, in the agaven, when you have different grapevines, the grapes of one vine put together with the grapes of the other vine, davarna, it's something that's beautiful, miskavo, and people accept it, people want to see such things. On the other hand, he should not marry the daughter of an Amoritz. Because that could be compared to when you take the grapes of a vine and put it together with the things that grow on a thorn bush. Davarkara comes out disgusting. The enem is kabo. No one wants to accept and no one wants to see such a thing, to hear such a thing. Torah about a loyalum yivka adam komashiyeshli, a person should sell whatever he has yisabas tamachachem in order to be able to marry the daughter of a tamachachem. Limatzabas tamachachem, if he doesn't find the daughter of a tamachachem to marry, instead yisabas gedeli adar, he should marry the daughter of gedeli adar, which Rashi explains that means tzaddikim, people who do ma'asim tovim. They don't have necessary Torah, they're not tamid chachem, but at least they are great in ma'asim tovim. That's who he should marry. If he can't find the daughter of Gedalia Adar to marry, Yisabas Rosh HaKnesias. So then he should marry instead the daughter of the ones who are in charge of the Knesias, in charge of the Tzibur. Because again, that schus is something that he should marry into. He doesn't find the daughter of the leaders of the Knesses, of the Tzibur. So Yisabas Gabit Staka, he should marry the daughter of a Gabit Staka. If he doesn't find the daughter of a Gabit Staka, he should marry the daughter of those that teach the cheder children, the school children. Regardless, no matter what, he should not marry the daughter of an Amoritz. Because Amoritz are considered disgusting, like shkotzim, like insects and crawly things. Sherets and their wives are compared to shrotzim. And the reason is because, like Rashi says, they're not medaktik in mitzvahs, they don't keep mitzvahs properly, so therefore they're considered disgusting, they're considered like shrotzim. And about their daughters, regarding their daughters, it says, anybody who marries them is like he's lying down and having relations with an animal. Again, because they are Amoritz and they have this animosity, it wasn't just that they were ignorant because they never learned, but rather because that was their shita, that they had an animosity to Tamei Chacham who spent time learning Torah and they bedafka didn't want to learn. So because of that, their children have no intelligence to understand any Torah and Yerushalayim, and therefore they're compared to behemoths. Tanya Rabbi Yomer, Amoritz also lechol bosar, and Amoritz is forbidden to eat meat. And Amalek, it says in the pasuk, says Torah habehema v'ha'if. This is the Torah, the laws of the behema and the oif. So we darshin kol ha'isa b'Torah. Someone who learns Torah, he has zois ha'Torahs. Then mutar lechol behema v'ha'if. Then for him, it's permitted to eat the meat of behemoths and birds. Someone who does not learn Torah, like an Amoritz, also lechol bosar behema v'ha'if, cannot eat the meat of animals or birds. An Amoritz, again, those that did it bedafka, they had an animosity towards Torah and towards the ones that learned Torah, and they bedafka did not learn and didn't know. Therefore, they were considered dangerous people, like we'll see. And therefore, it says Rabbi Elazar that you can go and even stab him b'Yom Kippur b'Shachalias b'Shabbos on Yom Kippur that falls out to be Yom Shabbos. So even though it's Shabbos and Yom Kippur, nonetheless, it would be worth killing that Amoritz right then and there. Amalei Talmidav. So his Talmidim ask him, Rabbi Amar l'Shechter, why do you say to stab him, to rip his simonim? Why do you say you should shecht him on Shabbos Yom Kippur? So Amalei Zeh Talm Bracha v'Zeh Inin Talm Bracha. Because if you did a Shechita, Shechita is something that needs a Bracha. However, Nechira, just plain killing, ripping out the Simonim, does not require a bracha. And Amoritz is so lowly, he doesn't even deserve that a bracha should be made on him. Amoritz also lists Lavis in Mebederach. A person should not walk together with an Amoritz, should not accompany an Amoritz on the road while traveling. Shenemar, regarding Torah, the Pasuk says, the Torah is your life and what gives you long days. So an Amoritz who doesn't learn Torah, alachayev lechos, he doesn't take pity, doesn't care about his own life. Alachayev chaver, like all shkim, so for sure he's not going to care about anybody else's life. So it's dangerous to hang around an Amoritz. Maybe he'll attack you. He doesn't care. He doesn't appreciate anybody's life. Amar Shmuel Anachmeni Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Amoritz mutu lekarek like a dog, and Amoritz could be ripped open like a fish. It means to the back, and this is based on the Gemara in Chulin. It says that a person who is ripped open, like the way a fish is ripped open, even though he's still moving around, he's already called halachically dead. And the Gemara over there explains that's when he's ripped open from the back. So that's what it means over here. You rip an Amoritz open like a fish from the back, in order that he should be dead. Tanya Amar Bekiva, Kishizi Amoritz. When I used to be an Amoritz before he started learning Torah, Amartya, I used to say, Meetali Tamachokam, if someone would give me a Tamachokam on a Shechenuk Hamar, I will bite him like a donkey. Amalai Tamidah, so Tamidah asked him, Rebbe and Markakel, why are you saying you would bite him like a donkey? Why don't you say I would bite him like a dog? Amalahem, so Rebbe Kiva explains, Zenoshech Vesheva Etzim. The bite of a donkey is worse, because when a donkey bites, not only does it hurt, it does it break the skin and the flesh, it actually breaks the bone. Whereas a dog, it will not break the bone. Tanya Remeir Oimer. Kol Amasi Bito La Amoritz. Anybody who marries off his daughter to an Amoritz, Kilu Kaiso, it's like he's tying her up with Manicha and leaving her Lefnei Ari in front of a lion. Why? Ma'ari Deres Oichel, just like an Ari, a lion tramples on its food and eats it right away, doesn't wait for it to die. The Ein Leib Oishas Bonim, and has no embarrassment to do so. Af Amoritz, so to an Amoritz, Maka Ubayol, he will beat his spouse up and force her to have relations. The Ein Leib Oishas Bonim, without any embarrassment, he's not won't go through the regular protocol of what they're supposed to do and be mafiaser till she's willing to do it, he'll end up forcing her to do it, and therefore it's like tying her up and putting her in front of an ari. Tanya, Rabbi Elazar, Omer, Ilmali Anu Tzrichim Lahem, had it not been that the Amiyaretz need us, the Talmidei Chachamim, Lematzah Matam, for business and to take care of their affairs, how you organize it, and then they would totally wipe us out, they would kill us. Tan Rav Chia had a baisa, Kol Oysa B'Torah Lefnei Amaretz, if someone learns Torah in front of an Amaretz, Ki Yilboil Arusasa B'Fonav, it's like someone has relations with a person's bride, someone that a person gave kiddushin to in front of that person. Shenema, like it says in the pasuk, Torah Tzivalano Moshe, Moshe commanded us the Torah, Moshe Kilas Yaakov, and it's an inheritance to the Kilas Yaakov, to the congregations of Yaakov. So Chazal Tash and Al Tikri Moshe, don't read it Moshe that it's an inheritance. Ela Moshe, that the Torah is like betrothed, like engaged, has kiddushin to Klai Yisrael, married to Klai Yisrael. So that refers to the entire Klai Yisrael, including the Amoraites. So if someone learns Torah in front of the Amoraites, so that's like someone's being boiled, a person's arusa in front of him. G'dayla sina shesonim Amoraites l'talmidei chachamim l'talmid chacham, the hatred that the Amoraites have for talmidei chachamim, because again, they were anti-Torah and anybody who learned Torah, and they knew that the Talmidei Chacham were upset at them for that, and they were jealous of the Talmidei Chachamim. So their hatred, their animosity towards the Talmidei Chachamim was so great, more than the hatred that Goyim have for Yidden, and the wives of the Amoraites, Yosef Mehem, hate the Talmidei Chacham even more than the Amoraites themselves. Tana, and the Bryson says, Shano Pirish, and Amoritz, who used to learn. And then he separated himself, he stopped learning, Yosef Mikulam, he's even worse than anybody else. And the reason is that regular Amoritz doesn't know how bad Chazal look down at the Amoritz. But somebody who used to learn, and he knows what Torah is, and he knows how bad someone who doesn't learn Torah is, and Alpha became, he separated from Torah to become an Amoritz. So his animosity to fight the Talmidei Chacham is so much worse than anybody else. Torah Rabbanu, Shishu Devarim Nemru BeAmeiretz, six halachas were said regarding the Amei Haaretz. Number one, Emosim Lem Edus, we don't give over something to be Edim, to be witnesses on that. We don't do any transactions in front of them that they should be appointed to be the Edim. They become Mimeno Edus, and if they come to Bezin to testify about something, we don't accept Edus from them. We do not say any secrets to them, and all these things is because they cannot be trusted. We don't appoint them to be the caretakers of Yisraim again because they cannot be trusted. Similarly, we cannot appoint them to be in charge of a tzedakah fund. And like we said before, a person cannot even walk and travel together with an Amoritz on the road, because the Amoraites may kill him. The Yeshomim, others add a seventh thing. If an Aveda of an Amoraites was lost, then you don't have to call out to find the rightful owner. So the Rishonim explain, how do you know that it's an Aveda that belongs to an Amoraites? And if you know who it belongs to, you know who it belongs to, then you wouldn't be calling it out. It means that it was lost in an area that you know there was a whole group of Amoraites, or this is a place that only Amoraites hang out. So you know it belongs to Amoraites, you just don't know which one. So such an Avedi, one doesn't have to call out and bother himself to return it. The Tanakama, who didn't say that, he holds that you do have to return it, because Zimnin, there are times, the Nafik Minei, Zaramalia, that he'll have good children that come out of him. The Achale, and these children will be able to eat, will be able to reap the benefits of this Aveda, therefore it should be returned to him. Where do we see this concept? Shanem, like it says in the Pasuk, Yachin, this is the Pasuk in Tehillim, it says that a Rasha will amass a fortune, he'll prepare, so to say, money for his children, the Tzadik Yilbash, and then one of his children who ends up being a Tzadik will come and be able to have Ana and clothe himself from that money, from that fortune that the Rasha gathered and amassed. The Chaim Mishiyatza, the Mishnah said, a machloikis both by going home to burn the chametz and or going back to Yerushalayim to burn the kachim, what this shear is, how much you have to go back for. Lememra, so is this the same to Remeir Samar Kabeyah, who the Chashash Remeir says you only go back for Kabeyah, not less, because only Kabeyah is considered, only the size of an egg is considered a Chashash, and less is not. Rebuta Samar Kazayah is not a Chashash, Rebuta says even the size of a Zayah of an olive is already Chashash. For a minute, I'll ask you a contradiction, we see the opposite. Akame Mezomnin, the Mishnah Bracha says, what's the minimum shear that a person has to eat to join a Zimun and to be Chayv in benching? A kezayis. Rav Meir says the minimum is a kezayis. Rav Yehuda Amar Kabeya, the minimum is a kebeya. So we see the exact opposite. According to Rav Yehuda, even a kezayis is already chashuv, and according to Rav Yehuda, it's not chashuv until it's a kebeya. So Amar Rav Yechon and Mechlef Hashashita, you're right, one of them is switched around. It has to be turned around because it's taka contradiction. Abaye Amar Leilam Leitevach. No, you don't have to flip it around. Because it's two different machlokes and they're not dependent one on the other. Hasam b'kroy pligi, because over there it's a machlok is how to darsh and psukim. V'halcha b'sar pligi, whereas over here it's a separate machlok is how to, in svaro, what's the shear that one has to go back. Hasam b'kroy pligi, over there it's a machlok is in psukim. Remeir salam v'chalto, because the pasuk says v'chalto v'savato v'irachto. So Remeir darshins v'chalto z'vachila, he eats the savata, and he satisfies himself with shliya, that's by drinking. And therefore, it doesn't say a shir of achila, of achila b'kezayis. And you know that the regular, normal shir of achila b'chol ha-tarakula is a kezayis. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, v'chalta v'savata is not two things, but rather it's one thing. Achila shi'es b'sviya, he has to eat enough to give him satiation, to satisfy himself. The ezu zubikabeya, the minimum shir that could give a person any level of sviya, is a kebeya. So it must be the Torah saying you don't have to bench until you eat a kebeya. Hacha, whereas over here in our Mishnah, going back to burn the chametz, or going back to burn the kachim, besorably they're arguing sar. Because midaraisa, by chametz he doesn't have to go back, he can be mevatlet. Midaraisa, by the kachim, he doesn't have to go back, he can burn it where he is. These are only gzeres rabbanan. So the question is, what did the rabbanan pattern their gzera after? The Remeir says Chazarasa Ketumasa. They said that the shear that you have to go back for to burn is the same shear as Tumah. Matimasa Bekebeya, just like the shear of Tumah is a Kebeya. We learned many times, food does not give off Tumah, it's not Metame until it's this minimum the size of Kebeya. Chazarasa Kebeya, so when the Chacham made this Chiyuv to go back, it was only for the shear that gives off Tumah, which is a Kebeya. Rabbi Yehuda Sava Chazavasa Kusuri, whereas Rabbi Yehuda holds no, the shear of going back is like the shear of Isser. If you would eat chametz on Pesach to be over the Isser, or Kazayas of chametz, he's chayv for eating chametz. And who I didn't kachim that became possible, like kachim that went out of Yerushalayim, if you would eat it, the shear to be chayv for eating kachim that are possible is a Kazayas. So my Isser of Kazayas, just like the shear of Isser, both by chametz and by kachim, is a Kazayas, al Chazavasa Kazayas. So to the Takon and Rabbanon that were Misakin, a chiv to go back, was patterned after the shear of the Isser, and therefore the shear, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is a Kazayas.